The Lord helping us, I will venture to speak to you this evening from the ninth chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew and verses 14 through 17. Matthew chapter 9, verses 14 through 17. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." The Lord Jesus Christ, then in his ministry, had been contending once again with the Pharisees, and he comes into Matthew's house, and there a feast is laid up for him. And, of course, the Pharisees are offended that publicans and renowned sinners come and sit at that feast. And so they and the disciples of John was now in prison, but his disciples held fast to the teaching by which John had instructed them. And that teaching was somewhat austere and hard, as John was one who was set apart from the main course of society, wearing skins and eating basic food. And so John's disciples were taught, like the Pharisees, like the Jews in general, to fast on certain times. Not necessarily just on the days of fasting that were renowned in the Jewish calendar, but also private fastings. And we're told in Luke's Gospel that they fasted twice in a week. Some believe that was Tuesday and Thursday, and at many other times on special occasions it was part of their tradition, times of fasting. And here there was somewhat of an agreement between the Pharisees and John's disciples that they both agreed to this type of fasting. And they were perplexed, especially John's disciples were perplexed that the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ fasted not. And so they come to him with this question: why do we and the Pharisees fast oft? Not that they were seeking a justification or an answer for their fasting, but rather, but thy disciples fast not. Why is it so that thy disciples do not fast like we do? And the Lord Jesus Christ gives an answer not only to John's disciples, but also to the Pharisees, which would shut their mouths, because he gives an answer concerning the bridegroom, and he says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Well, John's disciples would certainly understand this saying, because John had already spoken to them on this subject. John chapter 3, verse 29, John says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy is fulfilled. And so the disciples of John would remember John speaking those words in their audience. We need to understand something of Jewish custom. When the bride went to the bride chamber, she took with her her attendants, and these were known as the children of the bride. Also, the bridegroom, when he went in, had his attendants, and they also were called the children of the bride chamber, or of the bridegroom. So this answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, he recognizes or attributes the bridegroom as being himself. He is the bridegroom of the church, of the people of God. And they, the children of God, are the bride. And the disciples here are described as the friend of the bridegroom, or as the Lord Jesus Christ says, the children of the bride chamber. So these disciples were those that attended unto the Lord Jesus Christ. They went whither he went and were ever with him. We also need to understand that the significance of this is also the fact that when this nuptial occasion took place, the friends of the bride and of the bridegroom were exempted from fasting. And so this gives these words a particular meaning. And both John's disciples and the Pharisees could not cavil at what the Lord had said here. Of course, the Pharisees did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ to be the bride of the church. But they had enmity toward him, and no doubt their motive in coming with John's disciples was to bring a schism between them. So, whilst the Lord Jesus Christ was here upon the face of the earth, then there will be joy in his presence. How could a person mourn in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ? And not only, of course, in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also through this New Testament generation, there is joy in that knowledge of union with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord is pleased to appear unto his people by his regenerating favor and grace, then they have reason to rejoice, because they have not been left to perish with the majority of those around them in the world. But they have been distinguished, they've been separated out, they've been made new creatures, they've turned their back upon the world, and they've turned their face to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they can rejoice in that union and communion that they enjoy with the head of the church, with the shepherd of the sheep, with the bishop of their souls. And so the Lord Jesus Christ reminds these to whom he has had this communication that these disciples have no need to fast, no need to mourn, no need to be sad, no need to be overcome with grief, because they have the bridegroom with them. They have reason to rejoice rather than to grieve. But he reminds them also that the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. Then shall they be like John's disciples, because the disciples of John were fasting because their master was in prison and they were separated from him. And they knew that the enmity that was against John, that long they had sought to put him to death because he had spoken against their governor, their Lord. And so John was in prison, confined, and was likely to perish there, although they did not know, of course, what the end of John would soon dramatically be. It shows us also those times of union with the Lord are blessed occasions. They are times of great happiness when we can communicate our feelings, our desires, our concerns, our troubles, our afflictions, our sorrows with the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that he is there to hear and to answer our prayers, this causes great rejoicing, as the apostle tells us, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We have reason to rejoice in that time, in those times of union and communion. But when we look to such characters as Job, when he was greatly afflicted and cast down and was in some darkness, then he felt that the bridegroom was at a distance. He sought him out, but he couldn't find him. And he was brought very low because of these feelings. So here we have the Lord instructing his disciples, not only then, but throughout all time, of that nearness to the Lord Jesus Christ is a nearness of joy. To know the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour, to be our Lord, and to be our all, we really have reason to rejoice. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, the Lord said. But then he goes on to say, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be joyful. For I have overcome the world. And this was his great mission in coming into this world to defeat Satan and to cast him out. And therefore, he has overcome all things for his bride's, the church's, sake. What a blessing it is to know this precious Jesus, to be in union and communion with him, to walk in the light of his countenance and to do his will, to have his blessing resting upon our heads, to know his goodness to pass before us in the way. Then we have in the next verses two parables. They're very short parables, but the account in the Gospel according to Luke tells us that these are parables. And really, they too have the same ending, the same message, and two, no doubt, are there for emphasis. Firstly, then, no man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. You take a new piece of new cloth, which has not been washed, it's not been tended to, and you sew it into an old garment which is full of holes. It doesn't help the garment. Rather, that which is around the new piece tends to more quickly break away, and the rent gets worse. But what are we to understand by this parable? This, I believe, is spoken chiefly against the Pharisees, but also to instruct John's disciples, because something new had taken place. Something old and yet something new. The gospel, which really was from all eternity, is now newly made known unto mankind at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Pharisees were set in their traditions. They held fast to the law of Moses, but they added unto it of their own understanding. But neither the law of Moses nor their traditions were pure and holy. They came short in every way, partly because they lacked the basic understanding and teaching of the Old Testament that clearly demonstrated that a Messiah would come. And whilst they believed that a Messiah would come, yet they did not seem to understand what the Messiah was, who he was, what he would be in the world. And although the law and the prophets had clearly set forth what the Lord Jesus Christ would be, yet they could not understand. Their eyes were closed to the truth of this holy word. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the earth, they opposed him. They spake against him. They would not have him to be their commander, their ruler, their judge, their master, but they rejected him out of hand. Why? Well, partly because the Lord Jesus Christ came with a different doctrine, with new teachings. He didn't hold to their false traditions. He wasn't bound by the things that they held in such high esteem, but he taught the love of God to those who were made willing to hear the truth of it. And so we find it today. There are many who realistically oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they call themselves Christians, and if you ask them what they think of the Lord Jesus Christ, then they struggle to answer you. And the reason why is because they know him not. They don't know him because the Spirit has never led them into the mystery of Christ, never opened up the gospel to their understanding. And so today, as with the Pharisees, they hold to their traditions. And new traditions are ever being found out. And so these people go further and further away from the truth. You only have to read concerning things that are happening in various churches today to understand that there is no real love to the Lord Jesus Christ. These cannot even remotely be called the children of the bride chamber. They're not disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because they do not follow him. They do not walk in his ways. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. You cannot mix the new and the old. You cannot mix the true doctrines of the grace of God with man's creature ability. And this is really what the substance of this here is. That these Pharisees were quite proud of their religion. They were quite content that they had the right religion because they were so careful in holding fast to that which they had. But they didn't seem to understand that these traditions had no basis in the scriptures. They couldn't turn to the scriptures and say, well, here is the reason why we do these things. No, there was nothing to support their ways. And so it was of man's kindling, of man's making. And don't we see that today? Don't we see how man introduces things into the worship of what should be God's house? Things that have no basis in scripture, but that are the inspiration of the natural mind. And the natural mind seeketh not the things of the Spirit of God. These people are naturally minded and can only think and could only act and talk in a natural way. Without the Spirit of God, we are none of his. We know nothing of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ until Christ has appeared unto us. And it is a wonderful prayer when we are inspired by the Holy Spirit to pray, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Show me that I am thine, that thou hast a favour towards me. And this will be reflected in the walk and conversation of the child of God. The nearer we live to the Lord Jesus Christ, the nearer our desire is to communicate with those who are like-minded. As the Lord said, How can two walk together except they be agreed? They cannot. They're opposed to one another. So these Pharisees were opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was opposed to them because he recognized their hypocrisy. He knew that their religion was only something on the surface. It was something of a show. They showed unto others what good people they were. And others, of course, were impressed by these Pharisees, that they were such godly people and were unable to discern the errors of their ways. So if we have a religion, we want a religion which is real. We want a religion which is new, where old things have indeed passed away. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. And so again, it is the same message, essentially. Men do not put new wine into old bottles. Remember, of course, that they're not glass bottles as we have today, but they were leather skins. And after much use, the skins became fragile and cracked, and the new wine would seep out. So it was impossible to use them. But of course, people prefer the old wine to the new wine. And men and women prefer the old things to the new things. And this is basically what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, that something new had come, but they preferred and they relished their old traditions. They didn't want to be taught something new. They didn't want to know that the law now had had its day, and soon by the Lord Jesus Christ will be completely fulfilled, that all the types and shadows were to be completed in him, and that something new had come in its place. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ had come in the place of the law. Now, I'm not talking here of the law of God, which stands forever and ever, the commandments of God, which the Lord Jesus Christ on several occasions proves to be ongoing, but those things like the high priest and the sacrifices and the garments and the shedding of the blood of beasts and all those things which were ceremonial would and had now come to an end. And after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles would go forth and preach the gospel throughout the world. Not only had the law in its ceremonial role come to an end, but now the gospel was not to be restricted to just the Jews, but the Lord Jesus Christ was to commission his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so this new wine was disliked by those who wanted to hold fast unto their traditions. Now, of course, we must distinguish that there are some good traditions which the church has ever held and will ever hold to the end of time. But man-made, man-centered traditions are not to be held to. We are to look to the gospel which the Lord Jesus Christ has introduced and has set before us. Those that have ears to hear will hear what the Lord has to say to them. So the reason why the disciples were not holding to these traditions was because Christ was with them. And whilst Christ was with them, they had no reason to hold to that which was now passing away and soon will be forever passed away. But they were being taught. The disciples, of course, at this time were under instruction, as it were learning of the Lord Jesus Christ, and doubtless had much to learn. And so a person who first comes to a knowledge of the love of Christ shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit has much to learn. And the devil is ever active to try and oppose those things which Christ has begun to talk. So it is here that these disciples could not stand alone. They needed Christ to uphold and maintain and sustain them until such time as the Spirit would be poured out upon them. And as Jeremiah tells us, that the Lord will pour out his Spirit upon his people, that they become of a different spirit, of a new spirit, with new hopes, new expectations, and new desires. How we read, and in the epistles of Paul especially, how the Jews wanted to hold fast to their traditions. And it caused much stir and much trouble in the churches, that they wanted to hold on to those things which had been taught by Moses, not realizing that a greater than Moses had appeared. And so there is, even today, those who want to hold onto old practices. And again, I say that they have no foundation in Scripture. But they blindly go on, not wanting to debate these things, not wanting to hear that these things have passed away, but rather to rely upon those things which are now over and gone. What a blessing it is when the Spirit is imparted to us and we have something of the understanding of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is in reality what it is to follow him. It is to follow his teaching and to follow his ways. And so we can clearly see that circumcision is no longer relevant to the gospel church. That baptism has not taken its place, but baptism is the way in which we are now to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve him in his ways. It is, in essence, the gateway into the church. It is an act of obedience in following the Lord Jesus Christ. as the Old Testament Jews were to be circumcised as young children, several days old. So everyone was identified as being a Jew. And I suppose in this respect, that identification is through baptism. But of course, as in those days, so in these days, there are many that are baptized who are not the Lord's people. Everything that God introduces, man abuses. And so we see how the churches have so departed today from the truth that there is no real resemblance to the things of God. The Pharisees of Christ's day were so far off from the love of God and obedience to his commands that they had their own religion. They walked out in a way of their own making, and they were quite content that this was the religion that God would accept. But as we find with the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, God did not accept their religion. And so we have today, in the vast majority of churches, man's free will. That although he may recognize something of the will of God, he wants to add his own will to it, and thinks by doing so that he is pleasing God. But of course, everything of the flesh is nothing before God. It's like filthy rags. This garment full of holes, it needs to be thrown away. It needs to be disposed of. And until such happens, then there is a clinging, a holding firm to those things which are contrary to what God has said. What a great teacher the Lord Jesus Christ was to his people. And again, those that had ears to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ said would rejoice in this new way of things, in this new gospel, or this gospel which was now newly revealed unto them. It was an old gospel because it was centered, its foundation was in the covenant of grace enacted before the world began, which commissioned the Lord Jesus Christ to come into the world to fulfill the law and to present the gospel unto the people. We cannot go outside of the word of God. We cannot introduce things which the scriptures have not declared. We're to hold fast to what the Lord says, and not to what man says. And I think this is what the outcome of this teaching is, that whatever man's traditions may present, they may be harmless, they may be irrelevant in many ways, but if they contradict the word of God, they are to be avoided at all costs. We're not to take hold upon those things which are in reality an offence unto God. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Oh, that the new wine of the gospel may be put into us, and that we may be preserved in a right, in a good, and in a faithful religion, which does not honour man, but honours God in the person of his only beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, may we learn from these things then to hold fast to those things which are right, and to have a loose hand upon that which is error. May the Lord bless his word to us. For his name's sake, amen.